Okay, Pei Aleph talks about the shirim for hotzov, of glass and stone. The shear for a bone is to make a spoon. Rabbi Yehuda says to make a lock. The shear for a glass is to scrape the end of the spine. Okay, stones that could be used for kinuach on Shabbos. How big are the rocks that are used for kinuach or cleaning oneself after going to the bathroom? It's a famous sugya. Such rocks aren't muktzah, and they're useful. So one is motzi them is going to be chayav. It actually has a purpose. You take out a handful. What's the amount? And then they argue about the size of an esrog, just like they argue about the size of a kinuach. The argument about esrog is a mishnah, and the argument of kinuach is only a brisa. So the Gemara says that if there's a fixed place for the Beis HaKisi, he could take a handful of rocks. If he may take a rock, behechra, kehechra, the amount in the middle, a nut, it's been a kezias and a beitza. Question here is, 10 things lead to hemorrhoids, eating of leaves or reeds or vines, meat that isn't smooth, the spine of a fish, salted fish, a whole list over here. You got to be careful about the hemorrhoids. Kovet Abrius comes up here as well in Pei Aleph, that one may take a chip of wood to remove food between their teeth. Chaim permit only chips in the feeding trough. Or a person plans where he will eat, but he can't always plan where he's going to eliminate and go waste, go to the bathroom. Detaching from the ground on Shabbos. One can make kaneach with rocks with grass on them. And one intentionally detaches chayev chatas. So if a parfisa was on the ground and one puts on it pegs, he's chayev for detaching. So you have a few sugyas over here that pop up on this that are quite critical on this daf. This is a key and important daf. Davar Shena Miskavin comes up here again, which we've spoken a lot about. Matronisa, by the way, is a Roman aristocratic woman, but just some ha'aris on the daf. So number one, the Braisa says that the chafei posachas, the teeth of a lock, which are made of bone, are tahor until they're placed into a lock. Why are they tahor until they're placed into a lock? So if they're considered a kli, they should be able to become tummy even before they're placed into a lock. If they're not considered a kli, they should stay tahor even when they're placed into a lock. So Rashi says that a chaf is tahor because placed into a lock, because not usable all by itself. Once it's placed in the lock, it becomes useful, and therefore it could become tummy. And Rashi says it becomes tummy because pesuchei pshutei kli eitzim, utensils made of bone that don't have receptacles, are like pshutei kli matros, metal, and they're makabel tuma. And even though it's attached to the lock and the kli is attached to the object, the lock has a receptacle. Tosfos disagrees and says that pshutei kli eitzim are tahor. And the Mishnah says in Kalim that chaf is the main part of the lock, and therefore it doesn't become tummy as a result of being attached, which is makabel tuma. On the contrary, the lock itself shouldn't become tummy because it's attached to the chaf and subordinate to it. Now, the Gemara talks about the types of rocks that you could bring with you into the bathroom on Shabbos. Why does the Gemara interrupt this discussion to ask whether you could move a spice mortar on Shabbos? So Rashi explains that's because of its shape. Spice mortar is good for use for kinuach in the bathroom. Tosfos says the Gemara is mentioned as spice mortar is unrelated to kinuach. Rather, the Gemara is giving the maximum amount of stones that one could take with them into the bathroom. When you enter a temporary bathroom, a basic kisa shena kavua, you can take the amount of rocks equal in the size to the leg of a meducha ketana. 81b, the Rav Chisra Rav Ahuna said something in order to undo the witchcraft of the woman who cast a spell on their ship. And what was it that they said? So Rashi and Chulin Kufayim Abayz offers two explanations. The first explanation is that they countered her spell by using their knowledge of black magic. The second pshat is that they uttered the holy name. So Rashi understands they uttered the holy name. With regard to the second pshat, Rashi says it can't be proven. Velo muchacha milsa. Rashi implies the second suggestion needs strong backing in order to be good. Why is that? So in Avos Rabbi Nosson, we're taught in this 12th parak, that the expression lishtamish betaga chalaf in Pirkei Avos, meaning someone who uses the Torah for mundane purposes, is going to have no purpose in the world to come. That's quoted by the Rama. But we find in Sanhedrin 67b that when Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish learned Sefer Yetzirah, a calf was created. So Rashi there explains the calf came about by itself. They didn't intentionally do it. Rashi here over explains that Ramayim used a shame tahara, a holy name, to move the boat. And that confirms the opinion of the Rama, who permits the use of a holy name to perform miracles. And somebody who performs miracles with Hashem's holy name demonstrates the greatness and the mightiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Lavush. According to Rama, the statement of Abbas Rabbi Nosson apparently only applies to those who are not in the proper level of holiness when they use the name. And it's possible the word shame tahara here, as opposed to the word shame kodesh, are a euphemism for shame tuma. And Rashi's opinion here is consistent with his words in Chulin. Halacha lemaisa, the Shach quotes the Lavush, who says that since it's almost impossible for one to be on the proper level of Kedusha and Tahara in order to use the Shem Hashem, you refrain from using it unless it's mamish dire circumstances. Also, the din that comes out here is tikkun kli, you see, doesn't apply to animal food. You can take rocks up to the roof to clean yourself, after eliminating, because kavod abrius overrides the negative commandment, and that applies in all areas across the board here.